From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Two competing pieces of legislation to curb police shootings in California, and two governors who are very different in style and substance. Cap Radio's Ben Adler has taken on both subjects in this week's Capital Chat. We're going to start with part of his feature on the look at two governors. And Ben says it was very obvious at Gavin Newsom's first budget message event.
I, unlike the previous administration, may spend a little bit more time on this than you want. So just warning you, full disclosure, this is something I really enjoy.
He then proceeded to talk about his budget for the next 2 hours. And while Jerry Brown would propose his spending plans in the state capitol's media room with low-tech poster boards,
I will mention our nice charts here. As you see,
Newsom invited a couple hundred people to an auditorium with PowerPoint slides.
They will punctuate some of the fundamental points we want to advance.
The substance of their proposals was very different, too, as Democratic Senate leader Tony Atkins noted at a recent Public Policy Institute of California event.
Jerry Brown proposed a budget and he only wanted a few things. Gavin's thrown everything out there.
And that's a fundamental difference between the two men, says Dan Newman, a senior campaign aide to both governors. Brown, he says,
was more willing to let certain subjects wait for another day or another governor.
While Newsom
tends to swing at every pitch. He is genetically unable to say something is too hard or too politically fraught.
And so Newsom packed ideas from his campaign's 30 policy teams into his very first budget.
I know it's rote and cliche to say it's a reflection of our values, but it is a reflection of our values.
Well, Brown bristled at a question in our Capital Public Radio exit interview last December when I asked him about issues he chose to avoid.
So the basis of your questioning is that I should be on every topic all the time. And that's not management. That's helter-skelter.
To Bill Whalen at Stanford's Hoover Institution,
they're about as different as their respective hairstyles.
Brown is 80 and bald. Newsom is 51 and has a full head of slicked back hair. Whalen says Newsom is more visibly energetic than Brown.
I'm not suggesting in the least that Jerry Brown sat in his office and did nothing but play Fortnite. He was a very busy governor, but doing a lot of things behind the scenes.
Newsom, on the other hand, has already held a bunch of public events around the state.
He enjoys being visible, and that's going to be his style.
They also speak very differently. Neither of them sound particularly like normal people. Brown, with his Latin proverbs.
Nemo dot non habet.
And Newsom, with what Whalen calls Bay Area cool speak.
Broad strokes around land use fiscalization, quite literally, not figuratively.
So I predict that we're going to be tracking Gavin Newsom's language throughout his governorship, just as we did with Jerry Brown, among other things. Ben Adler is joining me now in the studio.
Literally joining me now.
There are similarities between these two. It's not all about the differences.
Well, they're politics are in many ways aligned. I think you're seeing, you know, the budgets are more similar than they are different in that, I mean, you've got this huge state, right, that you've got to, you know, you're going to have some degree of continuity from one Democratic governor to the next. So it's not to say they're completely different people. It's just that mostly in style, they are completely different people.
I need you to take a breath because I have to say that you just ran in from
a
little bit of traffic.
A little bit of traffic getting on campus today.
Can I pass you a little bit of water right there? So now into phase two of Cap Chat, I do want to talk about these police legislation bills. And this was interesting how it unfolded this week. It started on Tuesday with the introduction of a bill by Brian Marvel of the Federation of Law Enforcement Unions. Do you want to give a little context to the emergence of that piece of legislation?
So it really dates back to a bill introduced last year in the aftermath of the Stephon Clark shooting here in Sacramento. Democratic Assemblywoman Shirley Weber and Assemblyman Kevin McCarty, Weber's from San Diego, McCarty, of course, from here in Sacramento, put forth a bill, AB 931, that would have basically made it a lot harder for or a lot easier to prosecute and change the legal standard by which officers are allowed to use deadly, life-threatening force. They put this bill forward. There weren't a lot of negotiations with law enforcement, and Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins in the waning days of session held the bill and said, this bill's not ready. I want everyone to sit down and negotiate. We're going to do that for the next several months and see what we come up with. So they did negotiate for about half a year at this point. And actually, those negotiations weren't all a loss. You had the sides sitting down together, civilly, respectfully, putting forth ideas and proposals. Everyone knows where everyone else stands. Now we reach the point where bills have to be introduced. There's a deadline coming up at the end of this month. And so the two sides said, look, at this point, it doesn't look like either of us are able to budge too much from certain barriers. And we're going to put forth our own bills, keep conversations going maybe in the background. But for now, we're going to go through the legislative process. And so that's what led to first a law enforcement bill being introduced on Tuesday and authored by Democratic Senator Ana Caballero of Salinas. And yesterday, Weber and McCarty and some other colleagues announcing their own bill, which largely is patterned after last year's bill.
So let's listen first to a little bit of sound from Brian Marvel, and he's talking about that bill that was first introduced on Tuesday.
My biggest concern and takeaway is that officers are thrust into situations and they have to make decisions in a fairly rapidly evolving situation. So for us, trying to criminalize somebody without giving them all of the tools necessary to get to a level of expectation, I think you're setting officers up for failure.
Did the law enforcement unions and law enforcement organizations know that a Weber bill, McCarty bill, was coming to compete?
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Right. Each side knew the other side was going to put forth their own bill. And I think you're seeing kind of two starting points of negotiations. This is a little bit of a complex metaphor that's not exactly accurate. But if you look at you talk about this standard of when, under what circumstances should a law enforcement officer be able to use life-threatening or deadly force? There are Supreme Court rulings that law enforcement groups say govern here and preempt an 1872 statute in California. And they say, you know, basically my understanding of it is that, you know, a law enforcement officer needs to the standard is reasonable. Like what is reasonable for a typical officer to do in that situation? And law enforcement groups want that to go into law, basically put the Supreme Court statute into law or Supreme Court rulings into law. And the other side, civil liberties groups and lawmakers want to use a necessary standard only when it is absolutely necessary and after other de-escalation tactics have either been tried or simply would not work in that moment. So you kind of have a, you know, the floor being the reasonable and the necessary being the ceiling. And is there, this is the key question, is there any room in the middle, kind of at eye level or shoulder level, to keep that metaphor going, to compromise? And at this point, I don't think either group is able to budge from their positions. We'll see what happens 4, 5, 6 months from now as the process goes along, as the votes become clear, as it becomes more obvious and more evident how far each bill can get and if everyone is going to need to accept a compromise.
Let's hear now from Assemblymember Shirley Weber and the press conference held yesterday on the competing piece of legislation.
As a mother and a grandmother of young men, there's a fear that we have consistently in our communities about what happens to our children when they simply go out the door. All families have that fear that they will get hit by a car, some accident, or some natural disaster. But it is even deeper pain if you're African American and Latino, because you know that all things can go right and yet they go wrong. That they can be in the right place, they can say the right thing, they can have the right attitude when approached by an officer and still find themselves in situations that take their lives.
I know you said there are court rulings and places to draw from in this debate. Is it also possible that California will establish some precedent in policy, in language, by the outcome of this?
It's possible. I can't speak to what 49 other states in the District of Columbia have, but I do know that Weber and supporters of her bill are pointing to some recommendations from the Obama-era Justice Department and some recommendations that our Attorney General here in California, Javier Becerra, put forth last week at a news conference with Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn about, well, what are some of the ways that the Sacramento Police Department could adjust its use of force policies. So I think the backers of the Weber bill are looking to those guidelines as some possible template here.
Both bills at this point are announced. And in the process of being introduced, they work their way through committees.
They sure do.
It's a long pipeline.
It is.
For the two bills.
Quite literally.
Literally it is.
I'm going to keep saying that for a while.
And so what's the next major step for each piece of legislation?
I will be very curious to see how each bill does at the what's called the the House of Origin deadline. So there's a deadline in this is the first year of the session, so it might be early June for each bill needs to pass its House of Origin. Assembly bills need to pass the Assembly, Senate bills need to pass the Senate, or else they're done for the year. And it'll be interesting to see if both bills can pass, because they're in opposite houses, and how many votes each bill gets. Are those bills also getting votes just to move along, keep the process going, or are they real signals of support and opposition? And I think that is a moment where we'll be able to size up the playing field at that point, too.
Thank you. It is a complicated and
I don't want to, when I say playing field, I mean these, obviously it's such a weighty issue with lives at stake. I don't mean to be glib or flippant by that.
Yeah. Just to wrap back around to your feature, the full story that you did on the two governors is posted online right now, and listeners heard some of it during Morning Edition.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Ben, thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad to have you in the studio.
Oh, and
with
State
us.
Of the State Tuesday at 11 a.m.
That's
we now
right.
have a date and a time. And it'll be the first State of the State for Governor Newsom.
It's official. It will be carried live here on CAP Radio in a partnership collaboration to cover it with KQED. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
There's more state government news at capradio.org. And this is Insight on CAP Radio. Mm-hmm.